Let's go to the Word. Last week we talked about a living hope. Today we're going to talk again about a living hope. Part 2. If you'll turn in your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. You'll notice that's a sunrise. A living hope. A living hope. 1 Peter chapter 1 is where we'll begin. We'll be in verses 3 and 4 this morning of 1 Peter chapter 1. Just this past week, a gunman on the 32nd or 37th floor of the Mandalay Bay in Las Vegas rained a rapid-fire barrage on an outdoor country music concert, left at least 58 victims dead. He was the 59th, having killed himself as a shooter. Horrifically raining a fire of bullets down upon and injuring at least 527 others. Thousands of terrified survivors fled for cover in one of the deadliest, or in fact the deadliest, mass shooting in American history. Online video of the attack near the Mandalay Bay Resort and Casino showed the singer Jason Aldean's performance being interrupted by the rain of gunfire. The music stopped as victims fell bleeding, and concert goers ducked and screamed and ran for cover and didn't know what to do. And heroes who put themselves in the direct path of some of the gunfire to reach out to those who were hurting were manifested again and seen all over the place. Senseless rage and terror devastates lives in an instant. Families are changed forever because of a split-second, demonic-filled, hate-filled, evil-filled person. Pure evil. Demon spirits have been given open doors. People become twisted in demonic plots. The devil, the Bible says, is a thief, a liar, and a murderer from the beginning. He has nothing good in mind for people. I'm going to leave my message for a moment and throw in another point. I want you to hear me, Christians. The Bible tells us, instructs us as Christians, do not let a root of bitterness spring up inside, because it says it defiles many. A root of bitterness, backbite, gossip, and ripping people apart leads to a spirit of hatred. And when nursed and fed, leads to a demonic open door that leads to the kinds of things that we have seen in a spirit of rage and hatred. Close the door on the devil. Somebody, I wish I could tell you, somebody is going to hurt you and leave a scar or a problem in your life that we all wish wasn't there. Come on, everybody in the room can say that's happened. But as Christians, Jesus reaches in and he says, I was hurt too. Forgive. Forgive. Sherry and I were coming home from Bremerton last week. And I got to tell you, you've got to watch every single thing you do on the road because of road rage nowadays, and you hear it in the news all the time. So we were coming up the hill, as some of you know, how you come back up the hill toward the Costco turnoff and all of that. We were coming back up the hill from Bremerton, and this guy rammed up so rapidly, so close behind me, he was a menace on the road, like he wanted to see what book I had on my back seat of my car. And I kind of flashed the brakes at him, and I pulled over as quickly as I could to let him just run by, because, you know, you've learned not just don't give into this thing. And he did the same thing to the person right ahead of me. And so I flashed my bright a couple of times and then just went on my way and started to go. And that man slowed down his SUV, got in behind me, followed me off the highway. I turned left, He turned left. I turned right. He turned right. I went down the street a little further, and he went down the street a little further. And so wisely, we were right by the hospital down there, Harrison. So I just pulled in and acted like we were going to the hospital. And I saw him go on and slow down and kind of look. And I just took Sherry around the loop of the hospital, came back around. We stuck there for a few moments and prayed deliverance for that person, got out and drove on our way. And I thought, there is a chaotic spirit loosed in our land. That man not only could have caused danger and injury to us, but the next person in the car and the next person in the car. And, you know, maybe I wasn't the wisest person on the planet to have flashed my brights at him, but I was trying to say, hey, buddy, you know, you're really being a danger here. But what happened in Las Vegas? What happens when we give room for the wrong spirit to take control? Bitterness, rage, hatred, and demonic-filled terror. And now we have hurting families, devastated people who are hurt forever. God have mercy on our land. How many like me are praying for the healing of Jesus in our land? We need a new day in America. We really do. A country. Now hang in there a few more minutes with me, and then we'll go to the scriptures. I want to say honestly before God with integrity, and I believe you can say it with me, a country that pushes God out and shuts God out of our lives and then blames God for the problems needs to come to its knees in surrender and repentance to God. We wonder why we have problems that we didn't used to have. God have mercy on our land. We cry out for his mercy and grace. Now listen, what do? You forgive and you keep moving toward people in love and grace and mercy. Right? You keep giving Jesus away. And it's the Christians who are out giving love and life away. Other people have too. The precious heroes, we've seen it. But Christian movements are helping flood victims in Texas, Louisiana, Georgia, down in Florida, over in the Caribbean. People are suffering in Puerto Rico and other places. Thank God we are part of a country that does reach out, and we're part of states that do help one another. But thank God for the Christians who are going to keep ministering and giving life away. I believe Jesus can get the glory through everything, not because of the bad thing, but because his people go to give him away. Now, take that to your own block, in your own family, in your cul-de-sac, in your neighborhood. Lots of things happen all around us all the time that are frustrating, and people will do things and say things to you, and man, it is hard not to speak back and revile back. But last week we talked some about this as Peter was writing in Asia Minor, the area known as Turkey, a letter that went to all the churches in that area. And he's saying, look, you guys, be like Jesus in the midst of a fiery persecution and a world that doesn't want the good news. You go be like Jesus to these people. And he reviled not again. And he kept serving and he kept loving and he kept reaching out. You do the same. Go and triumph in Jesus, because even if they take your life here, you've got life forever there with Jesus. Your life is secure with the Lord if you've been washed clean by his blood, if you've surrendered your life to him, if you've asked him to be your Lord and Savior. You know exactly where you're going if something happens today. Exactly. Into heaven with Jesus. Jesus heals. He delivers. And we need to remember we're not home yet. Come on, I said, we need to remember we're not home yet. We have a home in a heavenly place, in heaven, forever with him. Just like Abraham. Just like the heroes in the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Just like Jesus. Watch the scripture. Hebrews 12, verses 2 and 3. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross, where he was brutally beaten, brutally tortured, brutally ripped to shreds on our behalf. What did he do? He despised the shame. But then he sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, the scripture tells us, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. Consider, remember, the next time you're offended or someone rips into you inappropriately or does something to you, the Bible says, remember what happened to Jesus. Consider him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your soul. Remember, he went through it, and far worse than we do, and he can help us in the midst of it. A living hope. What is it? What does it mean? In the scriptures, or in the dictionary rather, it means to cherish, a desire with anticipation. To desire with expectation or obtainment or fulfillment. To expect with confidence. To trust. To trust. Let's go to 1 Peter, you guys. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. I'll have several versions up here, but I'd like you to see it in your own Bible. If you don't have one, there's some in the back of the back table. Somebody can help you get one if you need one. But 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. 1 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a what? Living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Wow, what a promise. What a glorious thing. Uncorruptible, it's undefiled, it's never going to decay. Look and see what the scripture says in other versions out of the New American Standard. An inheritance which is, say it with me please, imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. The NIV. An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. Anybody ever have something spoil on you as food? Man, not only does it fade away, you want it to fade away and get rid of it. It's awful stuff. But this inheritance won't. New living. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance. I love that. A priceless inheritance. And we have an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. I looked in the mirror this morning. A little decay happening. My hair's a little grayer, a little thinner, and other areas are a little thicker. But my inheritance in the Lord never decays. Thank God. Out of the Message version. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for. Including a future in heaven. And church, say it with me. And the future starts now. Come on, gently punch your neighbor in the arm and say, it starts now. Okay, some of you look hostile. Don't hit those people. Don't want any rage. All right, out of the Passion. Watch this. This is really incredible. Celebrate with praises the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has shown us, say it with me, I love it, his extravagant mercy. For his fountain of mercy has given us a new life. We are reborn to experience a living, energetic hope. Say it with me, a living, energetic hope. Wow, I love it. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We are reborn into a perfect inheritance that can never perish, never be defiled, never diminish. It's promised and preserved forever in the heavenly realm for you. That's magnificent, isn't it? I mean, that should make us stand and shout right there, hallelujah! What a great thing. How do we have this hope? How do we have it? Through Jesus and by his resurrection. That's what the Bible says. Through Jesus and by his resurrection. If you really want hope, you only find it in Jesus Christ. It's only in Jesus. The only name given to men and women under heaven by which men and women can be saved, the Bible says, is Jesus, the only name, the only God, the only leader of any religion. Whoever came to this earth, who died, was buried, and literally rose again, the only one is Jesus. The only one who knows exactly what you go through in the night seasons when you think nobody sees or hears. He sees you. He hears you. He knows you. He hears the cries of your heart and the burden of your spirit. Jesus is the one who's right there. Not some cold idol somewhere. Not some statue somewhere. Not a religious tradition somewhere. But a living, vibrant, alive Jesus who knows you, hears you, sees you, and is right here with you. What a Jesus. In His resurrection, in the fact of His death, burial, and resurrection, in His forgiveness, His mercy, His grace, His mercies, the Bible says. Wow, you guys get this. His mercies are renewed every morning. Ever gone to bed the night before and say, well, that's it. Blew it. That's it. Everybody's done with me. And it's kind of like, I don't want to make light of this, but anybody ever have an energetic little puppy? Come on, ever seen an energetic little puppy? And so you make him stay or her stay in their little beddy, or they end up on your beddy. But as soon as your eyes open, hey, good morning! It's like that. You wake up in the morning, hey, mercies are new every day. You know, you're, man, what a night. I'm done. Nobody wants me. And open that eye and, hey, good morning! New mercies. New mercies. And the Lord is so gracious. He doesn't look at us and say, okay, I got new mercies for you today because I know you're going to need them.
We are.
But we do need them. Every day. Good morning, Lord. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because His compassions, come on, say it again, fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Compassions. The definition of that word, compassions, literally in the Hebrew, as a mother cherishing her fetus in the womb. Supposed to be that safest place. He sees, He knows, He holds you. Great is thy faithfulness. The Hebrew there means His fidelity. He's true. He's always true. Even if you blow your word, even if you blow it, you make a mistake, you sin, you oops, whatever, God says, I'm here, I'm true. You heard it prophetically this morning, didn't you? The Lord said it. These people who prophesied this morning didn't know what I was preaching about this morning. God knew it. And He said, I want to reinforce to my people, I'm here, I'm good, I'm God. I didn't leave them. My mercies are new every single day. He's there. Use the key to open the door to receiving His mercy and hope, a living hope. Now you need to be solid in your surrender to Jesus. If you have not surrendered to Jesus, this is your day. Make it solid. Ask Him to come into your heart, to forgive you, to be your personal Lord and Savior if you haven't. Because today, if you leave this place, you get hit by a car, you die on the road somewhere, you need to know exactly where you are going. Into the arms of Jesus, if you have surrendered your life to Him. Somebody needs that here today. I don't believe any of us are going to die today. I hope not. But I believe someone in your heart, you need the word assurance of your salvation. And it's sure when you've surrendered and received Jesus as your Lord. John 3:16 tells us, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Out of the Passion, this is how much God loved the world. He gave His one and only, His unique Son as a gift. So now everyone who believes in Him will never perish, but have everlasting life. The Roman soldiers could thrust their sword through you and steal your life away on this planet. But the saints who know the Lord and love Him went straight into the arms of Jesus, into heaven forever. Somebody can do whatever today. They can shoot from the Mandalay Bay and take your life away. But if you're in Jesus, you know exactly where you're going. Amen. What's the next soft target? What are you going to do? Stay at home, live in a cave? No. What we do is we go out and give Jesus away so we and others that we love and know, no matter what happens, can know there's a living hope in Jesus. Your inheritance, incorruptible, undecaying. The word inheritance in the Greek here, I spoke about the Hebrew before it. Those are the Greek words. And this Greek word, inheritance, means your heirship, your possession. Now, honestly, in our affluent nation, sometimes people care little today about their inheritance. But throughout history, inheritance, generations would live together. And there would be things passed along when the originating ones passed or the oldest passed. The double portion, if you remember, goes to the firstborn in Israel when there was passing away. That firstborn and those carry on the family name. They carry on the family farm. The double portion of income wasn't just so they could sit back and count their money. They had to take care of the widow and they had to make sure that the farm continued and life continued and the family continued. But there was something that was powerful to pass on as an inheritance. Maybe some of you are like me. When my parents passed, and I loved them, and I loved my stepfather very much, but what I was concerned about inheriting were the bills. And when it all came down to it, I didn't have to inherit the bills, but there wasn't anything to pass along. But in Jesus, there is. Some of you have wonderful inheritance. It's an important thing. But all of us in Christ have a rich, rich, rich inheritance that this world can never touch. It doesn't matter how much you have in this life or how little you have in this life. When you love Jesus and you've given your life to Him, you are rich beyond belief and you have a peace that passes all understanding. Church, where are you going? If your life was taken from you today on this earth, where are you heading? Where are you going? Into the arms of Jesus to receive your inheritance. The New Testament. We call it the New Testament. Well, the New Testament is a testament is in effect when the originator passes, then the testament declares what we receive as the children or the offspring of the one who set up the will. The last will and testament. The New Testament tells us we who have surrendered to Him, receive the blessings of all that He has provided as we go into the presence of Jesus, both in this life and in the life to come. Can someone say amen? Amen. Aren't you glad? Amen. He gave us victory over the devil. Aren't you glad? Amen. He gave us victory over death. Victory. You're rich in Christ. Let's find out what these words mean. Incorruptible literally means undecaying. Now, that's up there. Let's go back to it. Thank you so much. Let's go back to this. This was treasure found in 2015 off of the coast of Caesarea in Israel. Some amateur divers were out diving around and they thought they stumbled upon some toy coins. So they brought some and took them to some authorities and it turned out they were indeed the real deal. And that's exactly how they looked. Now listen, these were from the Fatimid era in the 10th and 11th centuries. They probably came from a boat that sank on its way to deliver tax money to Egypt, or from a merchant ship trading among Mediterranean coastal cities. The Israel Antiquities Authority's curator, his name was Robert Cool. That's kind of a cool name, don't you think? Robert Cool. Robert Cool said this, listen, the find was in excellent condition. The coins did not require any cleaning or conservation, despite having been at the bottom of the sea for 1,000 years. Gold is a noble metal and is not affected by air or water, he said. Your saved soul, your soul saved by Jesus, cleaned, washed by the blood of Jesus, forgiven, redeemed, made whole. The past junk is gone. He cleaned you all up. He washed you. He brightened you. He polished you. And you go in to an inheritance that is undecaying, undefiled, and beautiful forever. And the hand of your Father God holds you tight. And he says, come on home when it's time. He says, come on home, son and daughter. I've got you right here. Undefiled means unspoiled and pure. Fades not away. Unfading. It's perpetual. Reserved in heaven for you. That literally means your inheritance is guarded. He is keeping an eye on you. That's literally what the Greek means. The chaos in the world doesn't change it. We break in heart for suffering people. Floods and hurricanes and murderous, venomous people at the Mandalay Bay, or a man who shot people dead. Doesn't change what Jesus extends in love and mercy to his people, to everyone. For God so loved the world. Church, remember what you've got and go and give him away today. To people that are hopeless and in despair, you've got, say it with me, a living hope. An inheritance uncorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's waiting. Your inheritance, it's now, but it's on reserve for you. You call up, you set a reservation. We'll be there at Anthony's Restaurant at 5:45 on Monday night. We got a reserve for you, Mr. Hunter. Now, I don't quite know when Jesus says my reservation is up. But I do know that the Spirit of God comes, and if I get concerned and I need a little confirmation, I can say, is it there? He says, oh, yes, sir. Your reservation, it's ready. And Jesus looks at you and me this morning and he says, son and daughter, I've got you. No matter what you're going through now, I've got you. And no matter where you go, if ISIS steals your life in the flesh, I've got you. Genocide is happening in countries around the planet, and Christians are being beheaded, crucified, burned. Kids are being killed and slaughtered, and women are being raped, and yet they return to these lands to go tell those people about Jesus. Because he's the God who loves the world. You have a living hope. Stand with me, would you please? Musicians, will you come? Back to the song, Your Name, is where we'll go. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord Jesus, I urge you that this be the day that you give your life to him. I'm here to tell you that he loves you so much, and so do we. If you need further prayer, Dean and Paula will be leading people in prayer this morning right over here. If you need prayer from someone, we want you to know we value prayer. We not only do intercession, but week by week we say, come on over. But we want you to know we'll have someone there for you as well to pray with you this morning. And we just want you to know God answers prayer. He loves you, and we love you. Okay? Father, we thank you that you are the God who does everything well. We thank you that you know our souls, you know our hurts, you know our longings. You know the deep needs of those who are here this morning And I pray that you will refresh and strengthen each person as they go from this place. Thank you that indeed you have already done that. We pray that as we go from this place, we'll go celebrating you, Lord Jesus. What a great God. The God who does all things well. The God who gives hope in the midst of chaos and times where there's no hope. Jesus, you are the one. We love you, Lord. Can you say it with me? We love you, Lord. We love you. We love you so much, and we're so grateful for you and for all that you do and all that you've done. Now I pray that you will strengthen and bless your people as they go from this place, that they get to go out in the joy of the Lord as their strength, knowing that you have been their healer, their redeemer, their encourager, and their strengthener again today. Thank you for what you've done, Lord. We love you. Raise your hands for the blessing, if you would, please. The Lord bless and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Bless them all, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they said,
amen.
Be released in the joy of the Lord.